1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 24 to 42. But I concentrate in this short discourse on verses 28 to 29. David and Jonathan have drawn up their plan. Jonathan is going to tell his father a cock and bull story. He's going to fabricate. He's going to dissemble. He's going to lie and make an excuse for David. And he's going to find out from Saul what his attitude is. And if it's bad, he's going to tell David so that David can escape. And so the plan is put into action. David, verse 24, hid in the field. The festival came. David hid. The king sat down to eat. The first day went all right. Well, okay. But it soon was obvious to Saul that David was deliberately staying away. And he questions Jonathan, his son. And Jonathan answers in this way, verse 28. David earnestly asked me permission to go to Bethlehem. He said, "Let me go, because our family is observing a sacrifice in the town, and my brother has ordered me to be there. If I have found favor in your eyes, let me go to see my brothers." That is why he has not come to the king's table. This is a fabrication. This is a lie. This is a deception. And the king's anger flares up. He knows it's a lie, and he reacts violently against Jonathan. Now, what am I going to say about Jonathan here? Do I condone him? Do I condemn him? Well, lying is a sin. Brothers are told, Colossians 3:19, we are commanded in Scripture, as brothers, not to lie to one to another. You could argue that Jonathan is not lying to a Christian brother. He's not an ecclesia life. He's lying to his father, the king. And it could be argued that this is war, and therefore, like Rahab in war, and deceptive techniques are used, and misinformation and so on, all that's possible. But the scriptures are very clear. Satan is the great liar. John 8:44 and so on. Acts 5 verse 3, God is against it. 1 Timothy 1:10, Revelation 21 verse 8. It's a sin. God never lies. Many scriptures for that. God, who cannot lie, Titus 1:2, lies are a sin. It's making a false commitment, a false statement, a false avowal. And his excuses and lies and deceit are all jumbled up in it. It's a deliberate lie here. That is why he has not come to the king's table. It's a lie. He's not come to the king's table because he's afraid of you, because you're bitter, because you hate him, because you're evil, because you're wicked. That was the truth of it. David was afraid. David was wisely keeping out of the way of the spear, the javelin. Perhaps that's the biggest part, the bigger part of Jonathan's sin and mistake here. It seems to me that he's beginning to side, if he's not already gone this way, on the wrong side of this debate, this quarrel, this hatred. He should be coming with David, but he's sticking with Saul. And because he's in this difficult position, where he's staying with the wrong man, he's compromising and he's lying. And therefore I'm bound to say that Jonathan failed here. He sinned here, but not simply in his lie. I think fundamentally, he's making the wrong choice here. He knows, or at least as a result of this meeting with his father at this feast, he's going to know that Saul is utterly wrong. He's incorrigible. Isn't he put?
David is right. The course for Jonathan, I think, is now to throw in his lot with David. But because he straddles the fence here, he's caught, and he lies.
But David is not clear. Right back in verse 5 and on, David had drawn up this plan. So David said, "Look, tomorrow is the new moon festival. I'm supposed to be there. Let me go. Tell him this. This is the way to go. If your father misses me, tell him, David earnestly asked my permission," and so on, "to go to Bethlehem." So the two of them are in it. David is sitting here, and Jonathan is lying to his father. And there's a fundamental root cause here. Jonathan is coming on to the wrong side in this quarrel. This is a difficult discourse. But the lessons are stark, are they not? Brother and sister, if we compromise with the world, if we get into wrong situations, we're put under tremendous temptations and pressures. Sometimes we lie, as it were, as a knee-jerk reaction, spontaneously. But this is a planned fabrication. And it's a sin. It's a warning to me to be faithful, to be true, to be loyal, and not to be in the wrong place, and to have the courage to speak the truth. I know others would take a different line, but this is the way I see it here. Jonathan is making the wrong choice, and he goes the wrong way, and eventually he will die in the wrong place with the wrong man. Of course, God is sovereign, I know, but we have to learn from these events and these narratives. And so I want to be on my watch today. Lord, keep thou the door of my lips. Keep my heart. That's the trouble with Jonathan here, his mind and his heart, and David's too. They've gone the wrong way. If only Jonathan had gone with David and become an outlaw, yes, a hunted man, yes. But here he is still sitting at the king's court and the king's table. And for that, he falls into sin. God overrules it all, of course, but it doesn't excuse our sin. May God bless these thoughts. May I be faithful to Christ, faithful to my brothers, and true to God and his word in all I say and do and think today and every day. Amen.